they were not able to supply. For us also it was difficult because our 17-18% margins had dropped to 11%. But we made it a point not to stop any kind of supplies. I mean, 11% is also a decent margin, so there was no question of stopping supplies. But we bore the brunt of the energy prices. Yeah. Coincidentally, that was the same time when OEMs were on the planning board for a lot of EV and hybrid vehicles. So it was the offer to quote was only given to people like us who were financially strong, because OEMs realized the importance of having financially strong channel partners. So that was probably the driving force. So you'll see we've got a huge number of orders. We put it in our presentation also, the large number of orders that we've won in FY22, FY23. That has those are now translating into sales. Also, when we took these orders, we had to commit investments also. So the financially weaker players, they were not getting RFQs because they had no line of sight for investment also. We continue to be net debt negative. We continue to invest. I mean, last 2 years have been by far the largest investment years for Endurance Europe. This year we are seeing that in India as well. So typically for our India business, our capex trend has been 350 to 400 crores a year. COVID ke time mein, we had brought it down to say 200, 250 crores a year. We bounced back to 350, 400 crores a year for the last 3 years or 2 years. This year we are going to see a significantly higher number with new projects being announced in the AURIC region.
These are two-wheeler focused, four-wheeler focused. How is the new capex?
So the new capex, so, in Aurangabad there's this new industrial city coming up which is called AURIC, where there are two zones, the Shendra zone and the Bitkin zone. So we in May we had announced the Shendra project, which is aluminium die casting and machining. So the machining has, I mean, our plans in that factory is to have high-end machining because we are targeting four-wheeler and non-auto customers there. The second project in AURIC is in the Bitkin region, which is our alloy wheel plant, which will almost double our alloy wheel capacity from 5.5 million to 10 million wheels per annum. Yeah, so these are two large projects happening in AURIC. Within Aurangabad, in the brakes side, we have, I think over the last, we had set up our second factory, which is up and running now for almost 2 years. And that is that has extra land where we are going to propose an expansion. In Aurangabad, we have two brakes factories. 5 years ago, if you would have visited Aurangabad, we had only one brakes factory. So we've doubled capacity in Aurangabad, and the new factory, we kind of used up part of the land, but now we are expanding further because we are seeing more and more brakes orders. Brakes has been over the last 3-4 years our fastest growing sector.
So just a question on trying to tie some of the statements Mr. Jain made on the call.
Sure.
So you've given some data that there was a 85% penetration already.
Yeah.
And secondly, he also said that most of the sourcing is now happening domestically, like there's not much imports.
Yeah.
So in that case, when you're putting up capacity, what are you kind of assuming there? Are you assuming some kind of a market share shift to you or some other aspects?
No,
or,
so
or the market growing in a certain
the fashion? Market is growing, and the move is to domestic suppliers. So we are not assuming shift of capacities from another domestic supplier to us.
Okay.
So it would be export replacement or more volumes.
Okay, it could be going into the export market.
So import substitution
import
or more
substitution.
Volumes. Yeah.
Brakes are imported in India.
TVS used to import. I think they still do.
Okay. Yeah. And this alloy wheel, whatever competency you acquired, is it transferable to four-wheelers or it's like a very different volume?
It's not automatically transferable. Meaning we can't today go to a Tata or a Mahindra and say, ki hamara alloy wheel le lo. No.
Okay.
We would have to do work on it.
Okay. So is there Is that a specific area of focus for you, given that now this
Yes.
has
So when we
been
look at our formula growth plan, one is we already supply castings. Yeah. And we supply machine castings to four-wheelers. So our customers are Hyundai, Kia, Tata, Mahindra are the big customers. From India, we supply to Ford. In Europe, our big customers are Volkswagen, Stellantis, BMW, and Daimler. So we have a lot of customer connect. Yeah. But we currently have, by and large, only one key product, which is machined castings. Yeah. The second product for which we've got orders now is aluminum forging, which we started as a backward integration project for our inverted front forks. Yeah. Now, aluminum forging, we are seeing there is demand from four-wheelers. And for us, the aluminum forgings that we earlier used to import from Western Europe, that we are doing locally because we have technology from an Italian company. We plan to expand, use that technology further, and make an offering to four-wheeler companies. So I think these are relatively easy access points to do
This
more on the
already
casting
one
space.
business or you're
We
still
got
kind of
business
trying?
from JLR, so
Okay.
from Jaguar Land Rover.
This
We
will be
have
for
a.
EV models or
I think the JLR is an EV model.
EV model.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's I mean, right now it's one order, but then the aim is to put more forging processes, put finishing lines, both in castings and forging. There are certain machining and finishing operations which we see have not been used extensively in two-wheelers. So in our AURIC Shendra plant and in our forging plant, we are putting up finishing or next step, downstream processes to make our product more usable for a four-wheeler. So that is one step. In our Chakan factory, which has been supplying four-wheeler castings for a very long time, Chakan is near Pune, there also we are putting up these advanced machining lines. Yeah, for something called dual clutch technology castings. Yeah, so that's something which we have not been doing up till now. So we got an order only last year and we started production there.
But DCT as a technology itself has not picked up,
I know, I
right?
know.
So,
Yeah,
like,
but
what
we
are
are,
the.
but we are, for DCT, we had to invest into, we had to invest into new machining setup. Yeah, and temporarily that was a setback in DCT technology, which we thought Tatas and others would absorb very soon. They're not taking that kind of volume. I believe the Indian market has not responded very well to DCT.
Here some heating issues and stalling issues were happening because of DCT.
Okay.
So it looked
Yeah.
like there
It
is
was
some
also a price thing. I
on-road
mean,
issues also.
it was also a price thing. Yeah, but luckily for us, we've got other orders to utilize that capacity.
In
Export
India
orders.
or export?
Export orders. Yeah.
Okay.
So castings, forgings, we believe that's easy entry. Next would be our existing products, like you said, alloy wheels, suspensions, brakes. Yeah. We do it, or we have deep expertise in these products for two-wheelers and three-wheelers. Our next step would be to aim to get some four-wheeler orders, which we believe it won't come automatically. While we have talent in the company who has worked on four-wheeler brakes, four-wheeler suspensions, four-wheeler alloy wheels, but that's not enough to get an entry. We either have to do a technology tie-up or M&A. A lot of work happening there. Our new director.
Would you prefer to take off the capuchin?
Yeah. So our new director and COO, Mr. Abhange, he comes with very deep four-wheeler experience. He's worked with Bosch, Gabriel, and also like. And his strong belief is that we should diversify into four-wheeler in a much bigger way than what we've been doing up till now. Yeah. So that's what we do on the four-wheeler side. Another area where we believe there could be growth is that as the four-wheeler market expands, people like Volkswagen and other European brands, which are there in India, but right now I think they buy the entire assembled engine from overseas. Yeah. Going forward, if they see higher volumes in the market, then they would be sourcing locally. And we would have a clear advantage over others because we've been supplying to the same models in Europe for a very long time.
In the move from two-wheeler to the four-wheeler mix that Mr. Jain talks about by 2030,
a lot of your capex, a lot of the scale up that is happening, whether it be on your side or whether it be on the OEM side, like Bajaj scaling up the Freedom, I'm guessing there's a lot of supplies that you do for the Freedom. In that, as two-wheeler has been growing at a very fast clip, which in order to reach your goal for the four-wheeler mix, the four-wheeler business needs to grow much faster.
Absolutely, yeah. We are cognizant of that. Yeah.
So how do we aim to bridge that gap?
A large part will come from M&A. We have the firepower. We are net debt negative. We're sitting on a pile of cash both in India and Europe. We have a strong management team both in India and Europe. A lot of focus on M&A as well.
So would you be looking at smaller sized companies, larger size, and now I think the environment is also there are a lot of companies that I hear are coming up for sale in Europe.
We would like to know of some.
I just met an ancillary yesterday. They were saying that there's quite a few, and you also mentioned that
we are talking. So there are a lot. So what we are getting a lot of opportunities. I mean, OEMs are telling us about companies where they believe the current management is not able to successfully run the company. But we are looking at that. In the casting space, where we already have a lot of capacities, we don't think it's a great idea to buy other casting companies. Unless if there are certain companies with very strong capabilities, automation which is as good as ours or nearly as good as ours, then yes. But otherwise, if there are a lot of people, then people costs and separation costs and all that becomes difficult to handle. Also, in the casting space, even if we don't buy
can
a company,
you only acquire plants?
Yeah.
Can you only acquire plants without people?
Doesn't
work?
There would be various. That's an option, surely, actually. But also, we can acquire capacities. So
yeah, that's what I mean.
No, without even owning the plant.
How do you acquire capacity without owning the plant?
So you lease the plant.
Lease the manpower, as in it's your manpower. So they'll take the pension liability.
We don't have anything concrete that has happened. It's just that in case we are to look for more casting capacities, then we have various models that we can work on. We can acquire the company, or we can acquire the plant, or we can acquire capacities. In the past, so, for instance, if we acquire a casting, basically it's subcontracting.
Okay.
So, machining, suppose we have machining capacities in-house and a weak casting player who's not able to run his operations, then we get very good terms when we do the casting subcontracting.
Got it.
And what are the other areas that you're looking at in terms of M&A in the four-wheeler side?
So what Mr. Abhange mentioned on the call is that he's working on a drivetrain part.
Okay.
Yeah, but he prefers not to give more details till something concrete comes out of that. Currently what we do on drivetrain is castings. I mean, we do castings for the transmissions, which are static parts. For three-wheelers, we do the drive shaft, which is a rotating part. Now we have to see which part we actually do in four-wheeler drivetrain.
What are your comfort levels in terms of size?
So, up till now, we've done small M&As in Europe. In India, the Maxwell acquisition that we did, it came with an upfront investment of 135 crore, with a peak possible investment of 280 crore to get 100% of the company. We don't want to be kind of in a very high indebtedness situation, but I think we are currently at around 400 or 500 crores of cash. So that cash is of course for investment, and for the right opportunity it may go up to say more than 100 million, it would be 200 million.
Got it.
So
you're also
600 crore.
700-800 crores of cash? After capex, we need a little lesser, but is that ballpark? Understood, okay. And on the India side, how should one think about new business wins from a market share point of view?
So We are doing with Bajaj and RE, where we are already strong. For newer models of Bajaj, we always pre-qualify. We try to get high share of business. Royal Enfield may we are strong in castings, suspensions, and brakes. In clutches, we want to do more work. So our Adler technology clutches. Adler is our subsidiary in Europe. So using Adler technology, we should be able to offer our clutch very soon to RE, and it's in advanced stage of product qualification. When it comes to HMSI and Hero, we are well penetrated in suspensions and castings, not so well penetrated in brakes and clutches, but we've got our entries there. In the last 2-3 years, we've got entry in both Hero and Honda when it comes to brakes and clutches. TVS, we got an entry initially in brakes, then in suspensions and alloy wheels. Going forward, we could do clutches also. But then suspensions is not a very high share yet. So there's more work to do on suspensions as well.
Your unit economics will sit how by product if you were to look at it in terms of your margin profile
No,
or
we don't
OC
share
profile?
that.
Yeah, as in you don't share a specific number, but do you also share a pecking order of where
In
you would
terms of
like to?
pecking order, what we've said is that in raw castings, which I mean some customers, including say Maruti in the four-wheeler space, they would want casting suppliers to provide them with raw castings and they do the machining themselves. So that is a low margin territory. Sometimes for a relationship, we take low margin castings orders, but broadly we've declined raw castings orders. Otherwise, we don't give a pecking order in terms of margins of the product.
Would you worry on the alloy wheel side? As in, bunch of players adding capacity very rapidly.
So we've taken a very measured approach to this. We have gone into capacity creation only after very firm assurances from key customers.
So, like 60-70% of these capacities are already tied
For the
up.
new plant also. Our current plants are already 100% up and running. And the new plant at Auric, it's more than 70% tied up. And for the remaining 30% also, it's reached the pricing discussion. I mean, the volume discussions are already tied up. So we have two orders and we are targeting two more orders where pricing discussions are on.
Is there cost of manufacturing difference, say for alloy wheels, depending on A, technology and B, location? Can it be meaningfully different?
Location, I'm sure it has an advantage. If, I mean, for instance, Aurangabad, so if we supply to Bajaj or to Ather, which is setting up a factory in the same industrial zone, Bidkin industrial zone in Aurangabad, that would certainly be an advantage.
Got it. And does technology also matter, or technology is fairly standard, so it's die
For a new player, technology will matter. But for
No, I mean
us
like
and
typically it'll be existing guys, it'll be you, it'll be Minda, it'll be steel strips, even more four-wheelers. But it's existing players who
No, I don't think in alloy wheels we are not aspiring to for two-wheelers, we don't need external technology. I don't know how Minda or steel strips, how they do it. If we were to go into four-wheelers, yes, we will need technology.
So your aggregate margins in your business still around 13%. This time Mr. Jain also mentioned that some of the factories which are not utilized well have now started turning around, right?
So our Sanand and Halol factories,
Huh.
which for long have been underutilized because both Hero and HMSI did not reach their committed volumes. So now we are seeing a good utilization in these two factories.
So my question is, why is the margin still at 13%? Is it a function of the aggregate, say raw material mix moving up a lot over the years? Because you used to do that 15%, sometimes even 16%, right? In the good old years when the demand was like fairly okay. So just wondering how to look at the margins.
See, 15-16% would be in a very low metal price scenario. Because when metal prices are low, our top line tends to be low. Because we we have to pass through the metal price benefit to the customer.
Mm.
Yeah, our absolute EBITDA remains the same, but our top line is reduced due to low metal price.
Right.
That's why it was 15-16%. Otherwise, we've not said that 15-16% is our steady state margin.
No, I'm saying that was a healthy margin you had at that time.
Yeah.
So is this more representative of a normalized scenario, or do you see?
We would like to grow from here
Okay.
because our Narsapura facility is still not well utilized.
Narsapura.
Yeah, that's the one in Karnataka.
Karnataka.
Yeah, that is not very well utilized. And then our ABS facility.
And that is serving what product and customer,
HMSI, it's HMSI focused.
Okay.
But we are putting in new orders also there. I
Okay.
think Ather, TVS, these orders will also go there.
Okay. So that utilization will go up.
That our utilization will also ramp up. Then our another place where we have capacity which is less utilized is ABS. So we do 400,000 single channel ABS.
Okay.
Our capacity now is 640,000. Yeah, so our two channel ABS, yeah, we have volume commitments from the customer, but the product is still to be, what do you call it? I mean, technically, the product has to be tested by the
Field
customer
tested.
and cleared. Yeah. So once that comes up, that capacity will also be utilized.
Okay. And what time frame are you looking at for this interview? Is it within this year or
Within
next?
this year, yeah.
Okay. And what delta could that have potentially, all else remaining the same,
So ABS
delta
is
on
a
the margins?
profitable product.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, these are all high value-added products where competition is from large MNCs. So ABS, where we have competition from Bosch and Continental. Yeah, so these are inverted front forks.
Mm.
Where we have less competition, more international competition, those are higher value-add products. And once the capacity utilization is good, we'll have better margins than other products.
Yeah, I'm just asking, is the delta going to be visible in the margin once these ramp up? I mean, just to put that in context of where we are today.
Yes, but I mean, it will not be a step change. These
Okay.
will be gradually changing
Okay.
margin.
Okay. So if, say, these are utilized, is a 14% a realistic number to
It is,
target?
yes.
Okay.
Very much, yeah.
So over a period of time, let's say over the next 3 to 5 year window, we are going to see the new value-added products coming in, the higher value-added products coming in. We will see four-wheeler business also pick up.
Yeah.
So how does one look at the margin trajectory between now and, say, 5 years down the line? How would there be a cap at some point of time where we say that this is what we can target or?
So, yeah, so to project margins, one has to look at how we are taking new business. So, when we are taking new business, we are conscious of the fact that we don't want to erode margins. Yeah, so at the same time, we don't price our products in such a way that we are far ahead of our current margins. Yeah, so we will be taking business at similar margins. Then, volumes and efficiencies would have to play. To make the margins inch up gradually.
And sir, you were giving out data on OE-wise revenues in the past. I think last 2 quarters is when that has been stopped. If you could give some color on what has been happening on that front. Bajaj will still be a very large customer, but is there which of the OEs have you seen a bigger jump in revenues yet?
TVS, I would say, has seen more growth than others. Hero has also seen good growth. So if I tell you my half year growth, I'll just tell you the sequence because we've consciously stopped giving customer wise breakup because there were too many questions around what you're supplying to whom and stuff like that. Not only from investors, but sometimes from the customers also. Yeah, so if I see we've grown faster than the OEM in the case of HMSI, Royal Enfield, Hero MotoCorp. So this is where, yeah. TVS is more or less at their own growth rate, yeah.
And where would you have not grown as fast?
Yamaha is showing a little bit of degrowth. It's probably the scooter and motorcycle mix. Yeah. I mean, it's not degrowth, but not as fast as the
As the
OEM's growth.
volume.
Yeah.
Okay. And Bajaj would be
Faster.
faster. So Bajaj, for the Freedom, we did the suspension as well, the
Yes.
front forks and the suspension.
Yeah.
Because I got a lot of good feedback around that,
Okay.
on the suspension and how it feels and behaves. And I think a lot
Okay.
of people are talking good things about the overall suspension of Bajaj just becoming a step better in all their new bikes. So.
So yeah, we are the leading supplier for Bajaj suspensions, and we've been doing a lot of work, obviously internally. Some of you may have visited our suspensions R&D centers. Yeah, we are in fact moving to a brand new R&D center for suspensions. So Sharik, the one which you've seen in close to Mr. Jain's office, that's we're finding that cramped for space. So we are moving it to another place, and like I said, our focus is to also develop the four-wheeler business. So we believe suspensions
The
would be a
four-wheeler
core area
suspension.
for suspensions as well. While it, I mean, I'm not saying that we'll get four-wheeler suspension business immediately, but our R&D center setup is being done in such a way that there's enough expansion plans for four-wheeler also. All the testing equipment and all, we have to plan in that way.
Of the existing product portfolio, which all products do you think you can do four-wheeler? So castings you anyway do now.
Yeah, so castings, forgings, drive shafts, we should be able to get an entry soon. This transmission product that Mr. Abhange spoke about, yeah, these would probably be sooner than brakes, suspensions, and alloy wheels, where we know the products, but then there's one more step to take before you can supply to four-wheelers.
Where is technology a challenge?
Suspensions, brakes, alloy wheels,
But
BMS.
directionally, over a period of time, that's where you would
Yeah.
Want to get
Yes.
to. BMS is a, there is more software capability, right? Or you would do only the, say, the SMT lines and the manufacturing, right?
So we, when
Like with,
we,
say, a Maxwell.
yes, so when we acquired Maxwell, we were looking at doing the software and then from Maxwell. We then chose to put up the hardware unit in Endurance. So for BMS, we are doing both software and hardware. Certain OEM customers are, I mean, they have already made up their plans that they will not depend on external software. Yeah. For them, we would also be offering our SMT line as a hardware assembly unit. But that's our second preference. Our focus would be to work with customers where they want the BMS software also from outside.
But everyone has to do it internally, right? Except for maybe a few startups here and there,
But Hero MotoCorp, Royal Enfield. So Royal Enfield, of course, nothing is taken off. It's
initially.
yeah.
So initially, Royal Enfield will use an external BMS. Once the volumes are there, I'm sure they'll want it internally. Similarly, I
If
would, the Vida today doesn't have volumes. But directionally, I would
no,
imagine
but
that's
from
where they'll go.
August, September, Vida volumes are pretty good. Yeah. Q1 of this year was a washout. Yeah, but Q2 from end of August, we are seeing very good volumes for the Vida. Yeah, but that said, the software capabilities of Maxwell are very strong, due to which, in case there's a OEM which wants to do a number of launches,
Can you do buses? Do you have the technology to do buses for BMS?
no. I mean, not ready technology. We will have to work on that.
That's a complete white space. No one has technology for, it's all imported from China.
Okay.
And they are not even thinking on those lines right now because they've just got their hands full. And this is across all the OEMs.
Yeah, no, I'll make note of this so that I can
And
speak to
Pune
them.
has a few guys, Eka's next door to you.
Who?
Eka Mobility.
Okay.
This is the Fironia group, so that's Foss Motors.
Yeah.
pretty sure that Tatas have not done anything.
Okay, they're all importing from China, is it?
Every, the whole industry is importing from China.
Yeah.
The guys who have the volumes today, the guys, so that would be a GBM, Electra, who got the bus orders, all imported. There's no internal tech at all.
Understood, yeah.
So the aftermarket is not picking up, right? So can you give some reasons why it's been so high?
So for aftermarkets, exports has been a bit of a challenge because there have been multiple economies where we've seen dollar shortages or banks not giving adequate credit and things like that. We don't take credit exposure in our aftermarket, and that has been one of the challenges.
This largely goes through where, say, Bajaj ecosystem is outside India, or is this a different type of business?
So Bajaj is in multiple countries, and where there are, yes, a lot of our exports growth has been to countries where Bajaj is prominent.
Okay.
So it could be South America, Egypt, Sri Lanka, Bangladesh, Southeast Asia. But then we also do parts for non-Bajaj bikes, even for bikes where we don't have a OEM presence. So if there's a TVS vehicle which is being exported which doesn't have our suspension, we still offer that suspension in the aftermarket.
And you mentioned you had a target of some 10%, right?
Yes.
Aftermarket.
Yes, yeah. So
what,
the export market.
What are the things which need to fall in place to achieve that? What are you
so doing? We have recently engaged a very very large consulting firm to work with us, because our mentality as a company is a B2B mentality. Yes, we have the aftermarket team which obviously thinks B2C, but as a company our mentality is very strongly B2B. Yeah, and that doesn't work in the growth of the aftermarket. So we are working with a consultant to see whether we are doing the right things as a company to grow the aftermarket, because it's a focus area. Yeah. What is it that we need to change? Internally, we've made some changes. It's not that we are where we were. We have made some changes in terms of, among other things, data analytics to see how we are doing at a district level or at a distributor level. Yeah, which distributor is selling how much of our parts and other parts? Which distributor is only taking, say, suspension parts from us? Yeah, so a lot of data is being now analyzed to see how we can grow penetration. There are certain districts which are less penetrated or almost not penetrated by us. So we need to penetrate those districts. Which are districts where we need multiple distributors. So that's the kind of work that's going on. So internally we've been doing that work. Very recently we've engaged with a very large consultant as well.
Is this for just the domestic market, or are you talking domestic and export?
Both.
What is the split of aftermarket into domestic and export?
Almost half and half.
Half and half. So that means in domestic, the relative presence can improve a lot.
Yes.
Because I presume the aftermarket opportunity for the export would be much smaller than the domestic export.
No, I think we can launch more products also, so traded products, things that we don't manufacture, so that's also a growth area. So I think we'll have to aim for growth both in domestic and export, covering more countries.
Right. And what goes into the OE as spares is not counted.
That's
in
not counted in our aftermarket.
So whatever goes into a dealer channel or a trade channel is
yes.
What they count.
As you get into a higher base for the second half, how are schedules shaping up now?
Nothing negative that I've heard of. So the volumes are all right.
You're still seeing maybe mid-single digit kind of growth?
Yes.
But mid-single digit would be a fair number to work with.
Honestly, we don't.
Not for you, I'm saying more industry.
No, what I'm saying is that we hear the customer when they give us volume expectations. Typically, the customer gives us more than mid single digits.
Hmm.
Yeah, the reality is not known to them nor to us. We have to keep that in mind. I mean, we'll have to keep our operations flexible enough. So yeah, if there is a big change in the market conditions, I mean, if there's a say 15% jump in volumes or something, or if there's a decline in volume, so that's out of the range growth or degrowth, then of course we have to plan distinctly.
Yeah.
Yeah, but otherwise there's very little that can be done. I mean, whether it is 5% or say 8-9% growth, there's very little scope for us to change what we are doing.
Okay.
If somebody talks about 15% growth, then we'll have to think of say Sunday working or something like that. That happens in the Diwali season and all that.
Okay.
Yeah, but otherwise it doesn't make sense for us to keep tracking these numbers, because it doesn't, we have to hear what the customer is saying and then on a day-to-day basis see how much his real offtake
is.
I'm guessing
the difference would be for say the new Freedom where it's in ramp up phase, or the Chetak where volumes have really scaled up.
So Chetak, so a year ago the kind of optimistic volumes we got from the OEM, the reality was very different. So now it's ramping up. So we built capacities, you can say, almost based on, we of course watered down that optimism a bit, but we were still having more capacities for the
And now do you think it's got to a level of steady state volumes?
No, I think we are aiming for more growth.
And on the Freedom, they've been talking about 30 to 40,000 kind of monthly numbers, also translating into revenue for you.
I don't know the numbers, honestly.
Yeah.
I wish there was somebody from operations who could take this question. But my perception is that if Freedom is going up, something else is going down, because
overall
and our lines are quite flexible that way.
Could you talk about the order pipeline and how are things looking out there? I think it was slightly muted.
So we put up a chart like this. Where it was slightly muted these two quarters, half one of FY25, our order intake in India has been lower than what we've seen in earlier quarters. But I mean, we are not very worried, because it's unfair to see our marketing or order intake performance for a very short period of time. When new launches are less in those quarters, we will naturally see less orders. But if the same trend was to continue for a longer period of time, then it does affect our growth plans. Hopefully it won't. We should be able to see. Otherwise, if you see the last 4 years, there's been a growth in order intake. So one quarter or two quarters, it's not a worrying point. In Europe, we've done well. In half one, we've done 24 million of orders.
How are the discussions? Because I think there have been a lot of new launches that have happened in the last one and a half years as well. Are launch pipelines of OEs pretty similar, or how are they trying to look at the launch pipelines? Are you working with some of these OEs on? Is it as aggressive as what has been in the last one and a half years, or can we expect a slightly lower?
No, I think there are. Lot of orders which are still under discussion. I think we have around 2200 crore of orders under discussion, RFQs.
And would these orders be more tilted towards two-wheelers?
Yes.
Okay.
Because we do more products in two-wheelers.
Sir, could you throw some light on three-wheeler segment? Because it is, I suppose, last year it was 8%, this year also it is 8%, right? What's the industry outlook of that?
So, I think three-wheeler in the industry also has not grown as sharply as two-wheelers. So, for instance, in Q2 versus last year Q2, I can see two-wheelers grew 13%, three-wheelers grew 5%. But there is no specific concern. For instance, during COVID or after COVID, for a pretty long period of time, people didn't want to sit in three-wheelers. They wanted independent transport. That's not a problem any longer. both for passenger use and for commercial use, structurally there's nothing wrong in the three-wheeler industry.
How's your wallet share on the electric side versus ICE for three-wheelers? Both two-wheelers and three-wheelers?
So
Say
for,
for
for
Bajaj.
sorry?
For Bajaj as an example where your wallet shares are high.
Yeah, so we do all the products in the Bajaj three-wheeler as well. So suspensions, brakes,
And is
castings.
content
Yeah.
different in any way?
I have not really done a comparison, but it's a good point. We could do that. I don't think it's different because in brakes and suspensions there would be no difference. In castings, the
Casting.
shapes would be different, but we'll have to do that analysis. For two-wheelers, we had done that analysis some time ago, where we had compared a popular ICE scooter with a Chetak. And that was, we were good. There was no concern in terms of depleting business or anything.
Honda is not a material client for, like an Activa is not a material client for you anyway,
For suspensions, yes, a very material client.
For suspension,
Yeah. We have our Sanand plant and Narsapura plant. Both of these were set up because Honda gave us a large order.
The electric that they are launching next week, is that
Yeah, so it appears on our list of EV customers. I don't think we've disclosed more than the fact that it is Yeah, so we've said that we are doing suspensions for HMSI.
Any sense of volumes that we should think of for Honda? As in, I'm asking more from an industry point of view.
No, I mean, I don't know. I don't know the volumes, that's a fact. But I mean, in our total, where we have a large assembly line for Honda Activa, yeah, these volumes will be pretty small compared to the Activa volumes. So even if their expectations say, if they do say 75% or 150% of their expectations, it won't move the needle as far as how we plan the production. We should be able to manage that pretty much okay.
Noted. And over the next 3 to 4 years, given that you're looking for M&A opportunities in Europe, how should one think of the mix of the business going forward? How large can a Europe be for you in, say, 3 4 years' time once you
I think it should stay at a similar level
Got
in
it.
terms of percentages, where it is today at 25%. Going forward also, I think it should stay at a similar level.
Got it. So, as in you broadly would work with double-digit kind of growth in India with your share gains and new products.
Yeah. In
And
Europe also, we are looking at opportunities apart from the normal organic growth.
How should we look at the incentive lines? Because I believe some new scheme has come, right?
Yeah. So 2013 scheme is where we are already getting money. Yeah. We our total eligibility under that scheme was to earn 447 crores. Most of that has already been booked in the P&L statement. We only have around 8 crores left to be booked. But out of 447 crores, we've collected cash of 283 crores from the government.
Rest
Yeah.
is sitting as a payable
Receivable in
receivable
our
from the government.
Yes, yeah. So this 160 odd crore more has to be collected.
And there is some new scheme which has
Yeah,
come
the
up,
next
right?
scheme is called the 2019 scheme, where the where we were required to make an application considering all our CapEx in the backward region, and Aurangabad is considered to be a backward region. So all our CapEx from FY 20 till FY 24 was to be covered in that scheme. We've got an extension up until FY 25. Yeah, so we've made our preliminary applications, and once FY 25 is over, we'll make a revised application. So we believe that our eligibility under the new scheme will be much more than 447 crore, which was the scheme, old scheme level. Because we've done more CapEx in these last few years than what we've done in the past.
How much was the CapEx and the eligibility under the scheme?
447 crore in the
No,
old
the new
scheme.
scheme.
No, that we are still putting things together. Yeah.
You will disclose that at a
Yeah.
later point.
But it's more than 447. That is something we've discussed.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what would be the schedule of those incentives being
So the scheme
recognized
is very similar to what was the 2013 scheme. It allows us to recognize over 7 years, provided we have enough state GST sales, which we have, which is Bajaj, Mahindra. There are a lot of state customers, customers within the state.
So your customer has to be in the same state?
Yes.
Okay.
So the Maharashtra policy says that you have to first be eligible by putting up capex in a backward region. And then, once you are eligible, then you can take the incentive, provided you have paid SGST. Now,
because it comes out of the SGST portion.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is 100% of the SGST up to the limited to the amount of capex.
Right. Limited to the amount of capex over a 7 year period. So you spend capex over a 5 or 6 year period, and then get that capex back over a 7 year period, provided you have enough sales in the state. So we are uniquely placed that way. Our operations are in Aurangabad, so that's a backward area. And our customer includes a lot of Bajaj.
So the capex finally, I mean there's a time investment, but finally all the capex get recovered as a state incentive.
Yes.
Okay.
Not the Pune capex or, of course it's a state incentive, so I don't need to talk about other states. But within Maharashtra, we have operations in Aurangabad and Pune. So this is only for the Aurangabad capex.
If we look at the Royal Enfield as a customer, there were some models that we were not present in the past. Does that same aspect continue, or because they have been doing a lot of launches, are we having a larger share in the new motorcycles that they're launching?
So one positive change is that they have moved to alloy wheels.
Right.
Yeah. So that gives us alloy wheels business. The negative change is that when they moved with new launches and new versions, they moved to a different type of clutch. It's called an assistant slip technology clutch. Our previous clutch, which we had given to them, or which we were selling to them, was without this technology. We have this technology through our subsidiary in Italy. So Adler supplies assistant slip technology to customers like KTM and all.
Right.
Yeah, but it is still to clear with RE.
Okay.
So our expectation is that within this financial year latest, or maybe earlier than that, within this quarter, we should be able to supply assistant slip clutches to RE. Otherwise, suspensions and others we are well penetrated. Castings and suspensions we are well penetrated.
Got it. And could you talk a little bit about the KTM side of the business, because I think there's also a lot of exports that we will be doing, especially with WP and all of that. So if you could just give some.
Yeah. So KTM is our technology partner and a large customer. So we were already supplying to KTM in India, in the Bajaj facilities. But we, and I mean it's been, we have been supplying to KTM in Europe for quite some time, and now we've also started supplying to China.
Okay.
What we are doing differently is to, our growth path there is to take more technology from KTM, particularly for higher CC vehicles, which may not be produced in India, so it'd be a fully export business. And also, we are working with them on e-bikes, so smaller vehicles, but they require good amount of
stuff. Their e-bikes.
Their
okay.
e-bikes, yeah.
And so, are we supplying to any of the big bikes of KTM? That's the 650s or the
1190.
1190.
Yeah, 1190. Ours is the, the front fork which we supply to them is the largest diameter front fork in the world.
Oh, wow. Okay.
What ABS, how is market share tracking now?
We are at 400,000 run rate, Sharik. So the market would be how much? 3 million.
Okay.
That's my assessment. Maybe a little more these days. So we are more than 10%, you can say.
And
when we reach, we have two customers jiske saath dual channel ki baat chal rahi hai. And when both of them get cracked, then we should be closer to our full capacity, which is 640,000. Which means we would be 20% of the market.
Also in expanding that capacity.
So we are the move from 400 to 640, while our plant is ready, the product is taking a little longer because it's a very critical product for the customer. We can't rush it through. And so once we see that 640 is going to get utilized, yes, we'll add capacities.
Actually, one budget CapEx for the next 2-3 years.
More than the 350 to 400 crore average that we've seen in India, and also more than the 35 odd million that we've seen in Europe.
How much is maintenance CapEx for this?
Most of this is growth CapEx. So in India, we've done a calculation around 85% of our CapEx is for growth projects or dyes.
Going out, and I mean, before they typically used to work with their own group companies and all of that, we've seen them come out and give more orders to the Indian ancillaries and all of that.
Yeah.
From your lens, why is this change strategically that they have taken up? And is it because they're able to scale better with the Indian
So, when have you noticed this change? I mean, if you noticed it recently, then we are contributing to that change because we've got the orders from Honda in 2018.
Right.
Large suspension orders we've got in 2018, maybe early 2019. So, they may have had a good experience with us, and that's why they've changed.
At a very broad, typically
yeah,
they don't.
I honestly don't know how they plan their strategies, but when we got into Honda, we got into Honda in a very big way. I think at that time when we got their orders, one is they were moving their scooter suspensions to front forks, yeah, which they were behind in the sense that other scooter manufacturers had front forks and they didn't. Yeah, so that was the time when they decided to change their sourcing for suspensions. Yeah, and in that math, we got more than 60% share. Yeah, of course, we had to promise setting up two plants, one at Sanand, one at Narsapura. Yeah, so I think they are looking for people who are capable of investing, have good product development centers. So TVS also, when they finally gave us the brakes order, maybe I think 4 years ago, we had a courtship of 2 years where they kept repeatedly coming to our R&D centers, trying to assess what we do at our production facilities, trying to assess whether we are fully aligned to Bajaj and therefore put them at a disadvantage. Yeah, but all of that, I think Honda played a role for TVS to come in with us. Honda not only trusted us that we would give them fair treatment as a customer and not give Bajaj any edge, we also got their best vendor award. Yeah.
And the 2019 relationship started with Honda. How long was it that you were quoting them, and did it take a very long time to crack them as a customer?
So Honda was already buying castings from us. So for suspensions, yes, maybe we were supplying from Waluj earlier also. So unlike TVS, where it was from zero, we came up 5 years ago. With Honda, it was, and ever since they split from Hero, I think we've been getting a few orders. But in 2019, we got this huge SOV. That was a game changer. Wonderful. Thank you all. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for meeting you.
Thank you, Anurag. Anurag, my problem is that I have not brought enough cards from Pune. Yeah. It also helps me go green. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Best wishes.
Thank you, Sharik.
How is your back? I remember you had some trouble.
It's bad. That's why I was standing for a bit.
All right. Take
take it easy.
Yeah.
Hi. Hi. Hi, Adit. Thank you so much. I haven't brought my cards, Adit.
You have.